Good afternoon. I'll start with a brief synopsis of kind of where we are in last night's performance. Obviously, we're an 0-2 football team right now. There are several reasons for that. Probably the most significant of reasons is we're not scoring enough points. I think, you know, 19 points in two football games is not going to win a lot of football in this league. If you'd have told me we'd have scored 19 points through the first two ball games, I'd have told you we had an opportunity to be 0-2. So, you know, we understand what that is, and we're working hard to rectify that. Obviously, last night, like I said, following the game, there were some things that were better, but still not good enough, the reality of it. There were more positive plays, less negative plays than our first time out, really in all three phases. But it's got to show on the scoreboard, and it didn't do that. I knew the game potentially had an opportunity to be a low-scoring affair. It was the last time when we played them late last year. They're a very good football team. But we got to outscore our opponents. We got to do everything in our power to do that. We didn't do it. Some things to build upon from the game, I thought special teams was a solid contributor to our efforts. We had an explosion kickoff return that gave us good field position to start the game. That was needed, obviously, with us starting slow and have started slow here this year. We had an explosion punt return that produced the first points in the game. I thought our punt team did a nice job against Adam Jones and flipping the field and keeping us out of harm's way from a field position standpoint. I thought we had contributions from young people to build upon. Jarvis Jones started his first game, was very, very active. We utilized Derek Moy in the red area, physical skill set that he has. Our run game obviously is below the line, but I was encouraged by some of the things that Felix Jones was able to do and probably will be able to do moving forward. You know, just looking at those type things, but obviously we're in this thing to win, and we didn't win last night. You got to give the Bengals credit for what they did in the football game. Like I talked about last night, I thought a couple sequences were significant. We had an explosion play there in the first half that flipped the field, put the ball inside the 20, and David Paulson fumbled the ball, and we can't have that, obviously. But just as significant as that fumble, they took that opportunity and produced a score. So we're talking about a minimum of a 10-point sequence right there in the first half of the football game. And, you know, that's unacceptable in a hostile environment. And I thought it was a significant play there in the third quarter when we converted a third down and 10 and got called for tripping and brought a play that would have flipped the field and I think put us on the plus 30. And, of course, it put us behind the chains in a long yardage situation. And we multiplied that difficulty by getting sacked on the following play. We produced a punt, and then they produced a scoring drive. Those are two significant sequences in the course of the game, one in the first half, one in the second, that, quite frankly, we were not good enough last night to overcome. We acknowledge that. We'll continue to work to improve. But, you know, that's just where we are right now. And it's a frustrating thing, but frustrations are very normal emotions. We can't let that frustration prevent us from moving forward and getting ready to attack this week's challenges. And obviously, that's coming in the form of a 2-0 Chicago Bear football team. Before I get to those guys, I'll talk about some of our injury issues, some pre-existing injuries. Heath Miller worked in a partial capacity last week. We expect him to work fully this week and see where that participation takes us. Now, make no mistake, we're not expecting Heath to step out of a phone booth with a cape on, but we are looking forward to watching him work and letting the result of that work guide us in terms of how we proceed throughout the week. Curtis Brown will be back. He's back from his illness. He should be fine. Le'Veon Bell is going to ramp up his activity with a minimum of at least individual work and maybe even some more of that. Those are three guys that are scheduled to participate this week as we move forward. Had some bumps and bruises in the game. Don't anticipate those things preventing these following people from participating in our game against the Bears, but it may change how they work over the course of the week. Jarvis Jones has a heel contusion. Brett Kiesel has a left calf strain, and Steve McClendon has a hamstring strain, although minor. That could slow those guys down at the early portions of the week. I'll quickly talk about the Bears, and obviously it's a lot to talk about. They're a 2-0 football team. Offensively, we'll start there. They're doing an awesome job of possessing the ball. They're converting 50% of their third downs. Jay Cutler is the guy that makes it go for them. He's doing a nice job administering this new offense and really getting into it very comfortably. He's got a 95 quarterback rating. He's thrown 5 touchdowns. He spreads the ball around to Matt Forte, to Brandon Marshall, to Marcellus Bennett, a new acquisition at the tight end spot that's proven to be a difficult matchup because of his physical skill set. Those guys are doing a nice job of moving the chains, converting significant downs, and, of course, scoring. On the ground, Matt Forte is a man for all situations. He's good in the run game. He's good in the passing game. He's good on blitz pickup. I think that their gun running game is really good, and they do a nice job of keeping teams thus far off balance in terms of some of the things that they're trying to do in the passing game with their gun running game. Defensively, man, schematically, man, they're tried and tested. They're a 4-3 team. They've got some guys that have played in that system for a very long time, like we have guys here that have played for a very long time. When you got that type of continuity, you have an opportunity to play great. You talk about guys like Tillman and Jennings at the cornerback spot, splash play capable guys. Both guys have produced plays this year and produced plays in the past, are savvy veteran guys experienced in that system. Lance Briggs is probably as experienced as any 4-3 will in football and have played in that system for a long time. He's a very good player. And then, obviously, up front, they got some talented people. Paya is playing really good ball, and Julius Peppers is always someone to contend with. They play a multitude of people, like a lot of 4-3 teams. Our work is going to be cut out for us there. Their special teams unit is just that. It's special, and it's special for a lot of reasons, number one being Devin Hester. You don't have to turn the tape on to know what he's capable of. I think his reputation precedes him, but he continues to add to it. I put the game on from Sunday this morning on, and, boy, he flipped the field and created some advantageous field circumstances for their offense in the game just this past week. And we'll expect nothing but him being him. And we got to manage the opportunities that we give him and be very thoughtful about what we do with our coverage teams, both from a kickoff standpoint and from a punting team standpoint. And their specialists in Gould and Polish are as solid as they come. Gould has got a 58-yarder already this year. Polish, of course, was a highly regarded guy coming out of the University of Maryland. They got him in free agency. Again, they're a 2-0 team. They've had 2 home games. They've executed well. They've done the things necessary to win close ball games. I think both ball games were inside of 5 or 3 points, one game being 1 point. You got to respect that. But our charge this week is to focus on us and the things that we're doing and our mandatory needed continued improvement. Obviously, like I talked about, we got to score more points. We can't improve at the rate in which we did between week 1 and week 2. We can't come out and score 11 points in this football game and expect to be successful. We got to do a good job of that. We got to continue to turn the stones over and look at the men that we're utilizing and what we're asking them to do and put them in the most advantageous positions to succeed. We'll do that. We're at the early portions of the week in that regard. I don't have a lot of comments in regards to the division of labor or whose roles may be ascending or descending based on performances to this point. Obviously, we just got back, but we're open to all of those things because we're open to changing the results of these football games. I'll be happy to address any questions you might have.
Mike, you said you were encouraged by some of the things you saw out of the run game, and particularly Felix Jones. What are some of those things as you guys move forward?
You know, specifically, I'm not looking for feel good. It's not a lot to be encouraged about in terms of the run game. It's been below the line, and it was below the line last night. But I was encouraged by some of the things that Felix did specifically, knowing when to bounce the ball to the perimeter, knowing when to stick his foot in the ground and get vertical and take what's there, and when to challenge people. I thought he showed some natural run instincts, some things that are exciting and we can build from.
Given the way the run game was going, Jonathan Blair had a 100-yard game against Cincinnati last year. Why wasn't he utilized more?
You know, he just wasn't. And you know, we went into the game with a commitment to utilize Felix Jones and see what he was capable of. And he had earned that. And really, with the opportunities that he was given, did a nice job representing himself. Obviously, when you're snapping the ball in the mid-50s the way we have over the last several games, you're not converting third downs. You're not getting enough snaps in general. You can talk about guys not being given an opportunity to show what they're capable of doing, particularly those that don't start or not featured. And I think the same could be said for Jonathan Dwyer in this game or Felix Jones in the first game. When you're not converting third downs and your snaps are in the mid-50s, and included in that mid-50s are no-huddle or two-minute-like scenarios, so you're talking about 30 to 35 snapped opportunities in the game. We're just not getting enough snaps for anyone at this point to show what they're capable of doing. And so when I speak about Jonathan not getting an opportunity or maybe Felix not getting an opportunity in game one, it's bigger than those guys just not getting an opportunity. It's about what's occurring when the ball's snapping, the fact that we're not converting third downs, and we're limiting our opportunities because of it.
Mike, there's been a lot of talk about using Kelvin Beachman as a tight end, and he just wanted to play center so he could fill in that role. He didn't seem to play much last night. Was that a matter of what the Bengals presented?
That and us. Obviously, like I was just talking about in reference to Jonathan Dwyer, when you're not establishing rhythm and gaining earned first downs, you limit yourself in some opportunities, and really his lack of play is a function of that.
And also, the trouble with the running game, is it a matter of blown assignments? Is it a matter of execution? Or is it a matter of being out-physical about the defensive front?
I think it's a little bit of all of those things, and it can be at times. I think when guys are focused on details of their assignment, sometimes they can lose a little energy, enthusiasm, and get out-tempoed at the point. And I think that's occurred some. And I do think sometimes we can do a better job of getting hats on hats. You know, we got a lot of young guys in there that we're trying to infuse, and they need to get better in a hurry. They need to increase the rate of that improvement. We have it to this point, but I'm optimistic about our work moving forward.
Mike, is the biggest trouble on third down what's happening on first and second down?
Easily, that's the scenario. If you just took a snapshot of the third down opportunities in the game, third and eight, third and nine, third and ten, globally speaking, you're not going to convert a lot of those or not going to convert those at the type of rate that's going to allow you to be successful. When I'm talking about the Chicago Bears converting 50% of their third downs, it's because largely they're in manageable-like situations, third and medium, if you will. We got to get more of those situations, and largely because of what we do on first and second down. Obviously, we can't be penalized.
Initial reaction to Fernando Velasco's play last night?
You know, I thought he was a positive contributor to our efforts. I thought that, he proved that he's a professional. I loved his demeanor. It wasn't too big for him. I thought he did a nice job of communicating for a guy who's new to us in the situation. A lot of things to build upon from that standpoint.
Better when it's in the no huddle. Looking at the tape, is that an accurate assessment?
I think it's accurate based on what we've done to this point, but obviously sometimes when you get late in halves or late in games, you move the ball based sometimes as a function of what defenses are doing or not doing. Obviously when you pick the pace of the offense up, it limits what defenses can do from personnel standpoint. From a communication standpoint, maybe even from a menu standpoint. But those things are short-lived. The reality is that we got to get better offensively. We got to be able to function in all circumstances if we want to have the type of balanced attack that we want and that we believe is going to help us win football games on a consistent basis.
You're saying it's short-lived. You don't think that it's sustainable to go no huddle more or a majority of the time?
I don't think it's sustainable in the big picture of things. I think it's an awesome weapon. I think it's a suite of services, if you will, that you can provide your offense in order to have balance. I think if you lean in heavily on it, that obviously I think that it's going to be exposed in some form or fashion.
Mike, the end around to Kotchery, was that a mix-up in personnel or was that a planned play to him?
You know, it wasn't a well-executed play. Obviously, we're capable of using other people, but he was the guy in there at that time, and they did a nice job of defending it.
Has there been an unusual amount of mental errors? It looked like Ben and his receivers were not on the same page a lot.
No, it hadn't been an absorbent number of mental errors. Obviously, we haven't had the type of success that we would like, and sometimes that creates frustration and strained communication, but not out of the ordinary in terms of miscommunication or mental errors.
Mike, what did the tape show on the Gilbert trip?
It wasn't a trip. But, you know, the reality is that sometimes those guys are going to miss calls or make incorrect calls, and we got to be good enough to overcome it. And last night we weren't. So we're not going to utilize that poor call or inappropriate call as an excuse. The reality is that we need to be good enough to overcome those type things as an offensive unit and as a football team, and we weren't last night.
Mike, was that
Is that called imply intent? Is that what it is? If he had rolled over and tripped the player without any intent, they wouldn't call it, but in calling it, you were implying intent?
You know, you'd have to ask those guys regarding that. I just, you know, it wasn't a correct call.
Mike, when you get one of those letters from the league that apologizes for a call, what does that do for you? Does it just make you feel worse?
No, it does very little, to be honest with you. You know, I don't have to wait for a phone call or a letter to know about that call. That's just football. You know, these officials, they do a great job, man. They work their tails off. You know, they're not going to be perfect. My charge as a coach is to make sure that we're the type of team that's capable of overcoming those misfortunate or unfortunate calls or circumstances. And last night we were not.
You said about Heath not coming out of the phone booth. Were you referencing coming out to save your offense, or were you referencing coming out of the phone booth to play this week?
Both.
Mike said last night that if things aren't shored up, you may not win a single game. Do you feel things are that dire?
You know, I think that's the appropriate mentality to have. You know, maybe, you know, that's overstated, but it's the appropriate mentality to have because we yet to win a football game. I'm singularly focused on this next opportunity, and I always have been and always will be.
You've never been in this position. You've never been 0-2. You've never been two games under 500. What do you change?
Nothing. Nothing in terms of how we approach our overall readiness and an effort to put our best group out there and give ourselves a chance to win. We're not going to push the panic button. We're going to continue to work and continue to get better. Like I said last night and said earlier in this session, there were things that were better. There was more positivity. There was less negativity. Didn't show significantly on the scoreboard, and it needs to do that. And that's what this week's work is going to be about for us.
Mike, how much input do you have in putting together an offensive game plan week to week? And would you step in if you saw something that needed to change in the offense?
I answered that last week, and I've answered it in the past, and I'll continue to answer it in the same way. I'm highly involved, and I have no problem stepping in and intervening when I see fit, and do.
Has there been a problem with the play calling?
There's been a problem with our functioning. There's been a problem with our production. There's been a problem with our points. So you can point to whatever you want to point to in regards to that. And obviously, if the plays aren't working well, then we're susceptible to that judgment. I'm not going to lose a whole bunch of sleep over that. I'm not going to lose a whole bunch of sleep over any of that. What I am focused on is what we're doing and the manner in which we're doing it and who we're doing it with and working within those confines to improve it.
Despite the numbers, were you not satisfied, but the pressure on the quarterback, was decent in your view?
You know, under the circumstances, I thought it was improved, but not of course, good enough to win the football game.
Coach, Sweezen was able to get through the game without any ill effects from his minor injury.
Yes, was pleased with his return and performance. Thought he did a nice job for us.
The confusion that Jarvis suffered, did that keep him on the sidelines at all, or did he get all the snaps that you wanted in that outside line?
We were rotating him, and we'll continue to do so with Jason Worrells. You know, he's playing not only defense but some quality special teams for us. He's on kickoff, he's on punt, and doing a nice job in all the things that we asked him to do to this point.
Mike, you mentioned Cortez Allen. Can you give us an update on his injury?
You know, he hadn't been evaluated yet today. We're optimistic about his participation, but obviously that'll be determined based on how he looks during the course of the work week.
This is eight games now. You haven't rushed for 100 yards. What are the problems?
How many games?
Going back to last year.
I don't go back to last year.
Okay. Two games, you haven't rushed for 100 yards.
Yes.
What are the problems?
You know, the problems are many. Like we talked about, we lack detail. You know, we lack finish. Hats on hats at times. It's popcorn. And not to say that with a discouraged mind state, I just say that that's a part of things when you're not functioning well, and that we're capable of fixing these things, and we can't overreact. We can't worry about things that are outside of our control. If each man continues to work and function better within the space in which he's working, I believe that we're capable of improving these things.
How many two inside guys do Mike, and was he the one responsible for the last Cincinnati touchdown?
You know, I thought they had their moments. I think they're obviously opportunities for growth with both men. We'll continue to work with those guys, specifically with the last touchdown. On the check down, Yeah, we dropped the coverage there, and it was miscommunication. They had a motion pre-snap and didn't do a good job of adjusting and playing from there. But that's life this time of year. We're capable of overcoming that. Obviously, in this game, we did not. But specifically in regards to the contributions of Keon and Vince, I like where they are, and I like where they're going.
Mike, a lot of 11 personnel. Was one of the thoughts coming into the game that you would try to spread Cincinnati out and run the ball out of the 11 personnel package?
You know, we were going to try to have balance and do both. Obviously, you know, we thought the strength of our offensive attack was our quarterback and potentially our receivers. It didn't unfold in the manner in which we'd like. We were going to infuse the run game into that. Not enough of that. But largely, like I said earlier, we're not converting third downs and you're only snapping the ball in the low to mid-50s. There are a lot of things that you can look back at and say you wish you could do differently in a football game offensively.
Mike, on the Paulson play, when it's originally ruled to catch, the whistle blows and the ball's on the ground, which they ultimately recover. Are your players supposed to just fall on the ball if there's a loose ball on the ground, or how are they supposed to react in that situation?
You know, obviously Paulson didn't think he fumbled. I think his mannerisms and his body actions indicated that. You know, we had some guys hustling up to the line of scrimmage that maybe thought the ball was out. The fact that it was ruled not a fumble on the field and David's response at the end of the play led us to believe that it was not. By the time we had confirmation that it was, they did as well, and they were able to challenge the play.
That's why it looked like you had some people, the guys were rushing up to the line, and it looked like there was a sub package coming in.
There were a number of people, I think, on the field that maybe saw it and saw that it was potentially a fumble. Obviously, a number of us on the sideline, including myself, did not have that perspective. And David's physical response to the end of the play would lead you to believe that it was not a fumble if you did not see it come out.
The history, recent history anyway, says 0-3, you really don't make the playoffs. Do you feel almost like this early in the season, this is practically a playoff game coming up here?
You know, I haven't looked at it from that bigger picture. I'm largely looking at just preparing for this opportunity and working to win this opportunity versus the Chicago Bears.
Mike, how would you evaluate your offensive tackles?
You know, they need improvement in terms of their quality of play, like a lot of us.
Opportunity for growth for Derrick Moy?
I do. You know, he was one of the, you know, guys that was a bright spot for us. You know, he's got an obvious skill set from a stature standpoint. We called upon it and he delivered. And I just, you know, there's no need to underscore that. That's something to build upon, and hopefully given the opportunity, he'll continue to do so.
Is there a reason Marcus Wheaton hasn't been called a lot of times? Do you like what you see in practice?
I like what I'm getting from him. He's played some. He hadn't been a target a lot. Hopefully that'll increase as we move forward. But much like some of the other discussions, when you're snapping a ball in the low to mid-50s, you can pick a guy and talk about his lack of exposure or opportunities to contribute positively to our efforts. We're just not getting enough ball snap. We're not getting enough offensive snaps, and it's due to our inability to execute, particularly on third downs. And some of it has to do with the nature of those third downs that we're in.
I know you're warning us not to expect Superman, but if Heath Miller comes back this week, does that give your whole offense sort of just a settling feeling or a security blanket, something? Does he give this team more?
No, you know, obviously Heath is a good player and he's going to be a positive contributor to our efforts when he comes back. But we're not sitting around holding our breaths waiting for Heath Miller to come back. That's not the nature in which we're approaching this thing. The guys that are ready to play and healthy are preparing to do so, and they're capable. If Heath is one of them, great. If he's not, we'll continue to work.
One of the things Ben said yesterday was that he was waiting to see his teammates' response. So positive could be how angry his teammates were. What did you think of your players' response last night, this morning?
In game or post game?
Right now, as you see them.
You know, the guys that I had an opportunity to visit with, I expressed their response, which is frustration, and I acknowledge that is natural. I'm less concerned about the emotions regarding the outcome of games and more concerned about our preparation and ultimately our play. So, you know, that's where my focus is, and that's where it needs to be.
Anyone else? All right.
Thank you, guys.